off my feet and away from my destiny.
Academically speaking? Politically speaking? They have more than their share of recognition in world leadership. Because they are small people. They say they only number about 6 million. Now you multiply that by another 6, maybe you'll have their number. If they say it's 6 one time, you can bet there's another 6. Because that's their number, 6. And it don't start with 1 6. Yeah, they were people of 6. It couldn't have been 7 million Jews. Couldn't have been 5 million Jews. It couldn't have been 5,785,996 Jews. It had to be 6 million Jews. I'll be glad when the Jews wake up and see that they got Satan right in their own camp. The historic Satan. You heard of the historic Christ. The historic Satan is in the Jewish camp. Oh, you're teaching anti-Semitism. The Arabs are the Semites. I got some Semite blood in me. How can I be anti-Semite? Now, that's clever, isn't it? You attack the Jew say you're anti-Semite. So he gonna get a whole lot of people on his side. He gonna get some blacks, Arabs, a whole lot of people on his side. The anti-Semites? Yeah, the anti-Semites. They don't like Abraham and Ishmael and Isaac and Jacob. Clever people. But among them are a lot of good people. And Allah tells us that in the Quran, that their people are divided. There is the sincere, devoted ones, and there are the ones who follow Satan and do the works of Satan. Let me just quickly point out some striking likenesses between the two people, Jews of the Bible, those that were persecuted, and us. When the Jewish people begin in Bible, they begin as a small people. Well, actually, they should have begun with Abraham. But they tie in Abraham some kind of way, you know, to establish something else. But let's come to the real beginning, as the Bible gives it. We find them to be a small people in a territory ruled over by the Egyptians. They are like in a small district or something under the Egyptian government. I think it's called the land of Goshen, if I'm not mistaken. Out of the land of Goshen comes Moses. His mother, fearing for his future, puts him upon the river that would take him down to Egypt, to Pharaoh's house. She wanted to send her baby to the aristocrat, the aristocratic society, the great palace itself. So she put her child in a little flimsy basket and floats him down the river. Much more to this to bring out. We don't have the time today. Just pointing out some similarities here. He's found host and falls in love with him. She liked the little baby so much. She nursed him, got care for him, and he grew up in her house and became one of the sons of Pharaoh. He became a great builder. He was in position to become an heir to Pharaoh's throne. Because actually Pharaoh was beginning to take a liking to Moses and was actually liking Moses a little better than he liked his own son, his blood son. So he was in a position to become the heir to the throne. However, Moses, he just couldn't stomach the double standards, the double justice in Egypt. He saw one of his own people being mistreated, and he killed the man, so the story says, that was mistreating a member of his own people. This put Moses in trouble, but that didn't really do it. What did it was Moses began to take on a mission. He was told by one of the Hebrews, one of the Jews. I don't like to use the term Jew or Hebrew because both those terms came later. That he was to be the emancipator, the deliverer for the Jews. So he began to think about that and to grow more and more weary. They got him in trouble, more and more trouble. Finally, he talks to God. He talks to God, and he comes back with a message. And his message now is a challenge to the order of the Egyptian house, or the order of the Egyptian land. He challenges Pharaoh in his order, his system. Now, look at our own history now, and let's compare. If you don't believe my interpretation is correct, bring me scholars, theologians, or we'll go to them if it's necessary, and I'll prove to you by their own word, by their own mouth, that I'm correct. Woman there means community, people, community. So his community, not just a woman, one woman, his community put him upon the river, sailing him down to Pharaoh's house. Wasn't it Africa who put us on the boat and sailed us down to Pharaoh's house? Okay, again, it was a woman who took him out of the boat, out of that flimsy boat, that boat of uncertainty upon the water.
Take a note. Woman means community.
Wasn't it the church?
I'm going to the community.
The woman of America that took us out of our native tribal religion and brought us into the church, into the palace of Pharaoh. And didn't they fall in love with us? And didn't they tell their children, no, these Negroes, some of them are better than some of you. We're going to give them their rights, whether you like it or not. So there was jealousy, wasn't it? Jealousy between their children and us. Their children jealous of the opportunities that we were getting in America, especially in the church. And we rose on up. How did we get to become senators?
spoken pretty good yesterday.
Porter's at the White House. How did we get up in Pharaoh's kingdom? Huh? Wasn't it through the church? It was through the church. The woman that took us out of the river. It was through the church that we got up in Pharaoh's house. Rathbun, Thurgood Marshall, many others now. Look how high they are up in Pharaoh's house. Ambassador Young. Look how he is a great prince for Pharaoh. Great prince speaking for Pharaoh. Andrew Young. Going out on mission.
Who?
For Pharaoh. Wasn't that Moses? Huh? Yeah. Look how now they turn some of the big cities over to Bilalian. Mayor Young in Detroit. Mayor Hatchett and Gary. Many Bilalian mayors now sitting over the big cities. Look how now government, the State Department, is talking to Bilalian. Favoring that Bilalian outlook sometimes over the outlook of their own people. Look how slowly the Bilalian have become a candidate for the White House, candidate for the presidency of the United States. Oh, it's coming. Yes, it's coming. Oh, yes. But first, they got to put a woman there. They got to gradually operate on the hearts of the Caucasian bigots. They got to get their hearts to accept a woman first. So, well, we had a woman. We'll take a nigger. Yes, goddammit, we'll take a nigger, President. But first, they got to get a woman president. Then a nigger president. Can't you see the parallel? Can't you see the stories, the histories, the movement of the two people running parallel, running together? Oh, yes. But where is the Bilalian leadership going to go? It's going to go out in the desert. Oh, yes. It's not going to accept to be the leader of America in the White House. It wants to go in the desert. It wants to go out on its own. With nothing. And get something that it can call its own. Why? Because our burning aspiration, the century-old hope that is burning in us, is not the hope to sit on the presidency of the United States, to sit in the seat of the presidency of the United States. Our hope is to sit comfortably in our own earned dignity. As a people, not as an individual representing many people. So rather than sit in the chair of the presidency of the United States, Imam W.D. Muhammad, the modern Moses, say, I prefer the desert to your place in the United States of America. Oh, Chief, are you going outside of America? No, the desert is in America. And I'm going to build me an empire of righteousness on this desert of America. Oh, yes. I'm going to see a kingdom rise up in the desert. Then when I have achieved my own soul's aspiration, then maybe sometime 5 or 6 centuries in the future, maybe I'll accept to be a leader for all people. But I got a debt that I have to pay to my soul. I got to pay that debt first. But I have achieved dignity, honor, recognition from world leadership for what we have accomplished in the desert of our resources. Then I'll be ready to accept a place in a seat that represents all people. I won't have to accept it then. If I can achieve that dignity for the Belarian, that will be an achievement that all people can identify with and share in. Oh, yes. Don't you know the hope of the White House is not in the White House?
Yes.
The hope of the White House is in the desert. It's right here with me and you. Oh, yes. Let us build up a healthy leadership. And the healthy leadership we build up, the influences of it, will fight the air, the wind of destruction in America. And it will bring about a healthy America where the government of America will be able to stand. Government of America can't stand under these circumstances. No, the government of America cannot survive in the climate that is now prevailing over America. This climate is going to topple government. It's going to bring us weaker and weaker leaders in the White House. It's going to bring us corruption after corruption. And eventually America is going to fall. And the only way America is going to be helped and kept safe is they have to let the desert grow. Let the desert grow. So I ask you to exodus. Baby, let us exodus. That's in history. It's in the scripture. That's predicted. We have to exodus. We have to turn our hopes away from the establishment and put our hopes in the desert of our own resources. And have the faith that you can build in the desert, just like Pharaoh did. What are you talking about, Chief? I'm talking about establishing your independent leadership in all the human concerns, in all the human avenues that you know. Establish your own independent leadership. I'm talking about an independent effort to make scientists, an independent effort to make great musicians, an independent effort to make our own music, to make our own science books, to make our own everything. Yes, we don't have to go outside of the physical borders of the United States to do that.
Yeah.
You can do that in the physical borders of the United States. We ain't talking about a physical migration. We talking about an intellectual and spiritual migration. That's what we have to have, dear people. And we'll get it. We will get it. It's the destiny of the people to get that. You and me, it's our destiny. God has not moved our spirit in this direction for us to just become a blend in the ordinary things of the world. No. God wants to show the world, as he's shown the world before, that you can capture people. You can empty them out of all of their human essence, all of their human resources, but I can revive those essence in the people. I can revive those resources in the people, and I can take a people that you have emptied, and I can make them full again.
Not my whole life, no way. Gotta be dressed with the dress, man.
And I can give them the dignity and the honor and the power.
At least say, well, my
boyfriend dresses nice.
That you yourself will be starving for. That's what God is doing. God is giving us what the old robber, the one who robbed us, is losing. Yes, the robber is losing his humanity. He lost his humanity. He lost his human resources. He lost his human vision. He lost his human potential. And now he's just sitting as a drunken, as a dazed beast upon the throne. Yes. He's sitting there empty-headed. Still. No more life in his bones. He can't reproduce himself. He can't reproduce his order. He's sitting there empty. Empty. Dead. Hopeless. Wasted. Waiting on death to come. And he's just going to fight a fight just to show he's still living until death take him over. That seemed to be, the attitude of our government. That they're just waiting on death, and while it's coming, we're just going to make a show of life. We have no ambition. We have no future. We have no vision. A world like that, you think I'm going to follow it? No, no, no. I'm going to follow the inspiration of God that have brought the Bilalian, the African-American this far, and is going to carry us all the way to leadership.
Gotta say hello to them girls. That is something. I'm not going.
Now again, let us look at one more.
I'm either going before her or after.
Event in the Exodus or in the struggle of those oppressed people in the Bible. When Moses was out in the desert with them, they began to grumble. What have you brought us out here in the wilderness for? To starve us to death? In Egypt we had turnip greens, collard greens, black-eyed peas, ham hocks, chitlins, neck bones, pork chops. What do you bring us out here for? To starve us to death? Give us some more soul food, Moses. I want my Mercedes back. I want my chinchilla back. I want my Itman and Claps, my Stacey Adams. What you brought us out here for? To embarrass us like this? Ain't no damn collective dignity worth all this suffering, Moses. You tell your God he better speak to us like he's speaking to you. And we can't see like you see. Show us that God in flesh and blood, or we gonna turn back and go home back in Egypt. Are you ready for the Exodus? Well, you know, history has made us wiser than the people of the first Exodus. We can now use their lesson to enrich our knowledge and make us more successful than they were. So now that we know the kind of problems, we can avoid those things. You don't have to have no Mercedes-Benz and chinchilla coats, Edmund and Claps or Stacey Adams. You don't have to have that stuff. What Allah say to Moses in the Quran. God inspired Moses to tell them, if that's all you want, go to any Egypt. Meaning go to any community that have great material things. If that's all you want, did you come out here following me just so you can have more material food in your belly and more material clothes on your back? Is that all you come out here for? Or why don't you go to any Egypt? material thing. But you have to be willing to sell your soul for it. Now, the aspirations of those people was the aspirations of the human soul. It was human dignity that they were coming out for. And for that, you should be willing to do without some of these material things. For as much time that is needed to put you on the seat of human dignity. We want to sit on the throne of human dignity. That means we have to have intellectual dignity. Moral and intellectual dignity. We have to have social dignity. What does social dignity imply? It means that a father is honored in his house. A mother is honored in his house. The children are protected and provided for by the parents. That's social dignity. It means that there's a voice in the neighborhood that the community respects. That's social dignity. It means that when other people come to bargain with us, everybody don't run out and negotiate. The people get together and they select the one best to negotiate. That's social dignity. Now, isn't that much worth much more than a cat light, a chinchilla coat, Stacy Adams, hog mouths and chillings and turnip greens? To hell with soul food. To hell with the pump of life of the pimp. Give me human dignity. But look. Look how they were willing to come out in the desert. Look how they followed Moses out in the desert. And Moses didn't promise them no wealth of Egypt. He promised them what? In the symbolic language, milk and honey. See, now, God has promised that he would lead us to a land flowing with milk and honey. He didn't say flowing with cat lights and Mercedes Benz, Stacy Adams. No, he said milk and honey. But after they got out there, they couldn't bear, they couldn't do without those material things, the external life, long enough to realize the victory of human dignity. So they started to grumble and argue about the little superficial transitory things that pass out overnight. What if we should lose the comparable standard of material life or living that we have now? How many of us can stop using gas and electric and start using coal or wood and candles in your house? Oh, is that what's going to come? Well, there's going to be grumbling in the desert, Amen. I'm not saying that's going to come, but you have to be prepared to endure that and endure it in jubilation. Oh, praise you to Allah. Say, what did you read by last night? Hey, student, I read by two candlelights. You don't have any electricity either? No, sir. You have to be prepared for the worst. You have to be prepared even to migrate. Suppose our problem gets so much for us in the north that the heat, the cost of staying warm is too great for us in the north. How many of you will follow me to the south or to a climate that is warmer? You have to be prepared. You have to be prepared to do that. Oh, but what is that going to do for the economy? Look, when you have a vision and you have a destiny, you don't think about what's going to happen to other things. You keep your eye on your vision and your destiny, and you go there, and you don't care what happened to anything else. You got a choice. Either follow Moses or stay in Egypt. If you stay in Egypt, you're going to always be the underdog, the oppressed, the second class, the exploited, the misused, because anybody that doesn't have their own vision, don't have their own senses in their head, they are victims for exploit. And it doesn't take racism, no, simply because you're a great market for that kind of exploitation makes it possible. And as long as the Belarian people are not established in their own destiny, in their own collective identity, they are going to be exploited in this country. You came from captured life. You came from a life of captives. You came from a life of slaves. You came from a position of subhuman. You shouldn't let yourself live in this world without wanting to rise up above that until the world say they have made it by themselves. We have to prove that we are not subhuman. We have to prove that we have the same substance that the white man has. We have to prove that we have the same human resources that he has. He came from Europe and he came into the wilderness and he fought diseases. He fought the wild beasts and he built a kingdom out of the wilderness. We have to show them that we can rise up in these cities. We can rise up in these cities of savages, of dope addicts, of pimps, of muzzlers, of stick-up men. And we can rise up out of these forces and we can come to a position of human dignity equal to theirs in their own history. To do that, we must come alone. We must come by our own forces. We can't follow them to our destination. That's what you have to realize. You have to realize that we can't follow the Caucasian to our destination. We have to go with our own forces. We have to go with our own vision. We have to pursue our course. And we have to be the navigator. That's the only way. That's the only way. Now, you can be foolish if you want to. And you can let me die like you let others die. But tomorrow I'll find you in still the same place. You'll be waiting for a Moses. All right. Let us think about this now. He said, milk and honey. What is milk talking about? Before the baby is delivered from his mother, there's already milk in the breast. When the baby comes, the first food the baby eats is that milk. Is that right? That food, the baby doesn't work for it. It's in the breast. It's been there waiting on him. Isn't Scripture beautiful? I know some of you're with me, and you're going ahead with me, you know? You already see where I'm going. And that's why I like to give you plenty of time. Because it tastes better when you find it for yourself. Oh, my goodness. Oh, it's... So I like to say it and then give you a chance to find it like I found it. Find it for yourself. Yes. That breast is warm. The baby put on that mama's breast. Oh, how warm it is. It makes the baby feel like everything is all hunky-dory. Milk is already here. Waiting on me. This life is sweet. What a beautiful life. I come out and there's milk waiting on me. Nice, soft pillow to lay my head on while I drink. Just as comfortable and sweet. So nourishing. Don't have to chew nothing. Get up older, get a muscle in your jaw, chewing on something. The baby just... See, how sweet it is, you know. Oh, life is so sweet. Now, can't you imagine those people being driven out before sunup? Get out there in the land of Goshen. Get up, dog! Yes, sir. Get out there and hit that plow. Get that mule up. Hit that plow. Yes, sir. Go out and work to sun up and sundown. Come back in and fall in the bed sideways, backwards, any kind of way. Boom! Hit the bed like somebody knocked him out. In deep sleep all night long. Hear the call is before the sun get up. Get out there, George. Get out there, George. Pick up that mule. Yes, sir. George ain't had time to brush his teeth. He ain't had time to look at TV. He didn't see his show. He don't even know the score between the Bears and the 76ers or 79ers. Whoever they are. He don't even know. He didn't get no personal information. No personal attention. Hit that bill. Get out there and hit it. And here come Moses. God has given me a vision. I'll lead you to a land where you can just lie on soft, warm pillows and just sip in the substance of life and relax on soft, warm pillows and have for your desserts sweets that is pure and healing for the body. That's really true, Moses. I'm ready to go. You think Pharaoh will let us go? He gonna call us in the morning to go out, hitch up that mule. After my God gets through with him, he'll let you go, don't worry. Okay, Moses, I'll follow you. But keep it a secret until you get more forces. So a movement gets started, right? Corn and milk and honey. They get out there in time, get a little physically difficult. Hell, I thought we were going to rest our head on soft pillow titties and drink milk. Stop it with honey, man. What's this? What is this you're doing to us, Moses? You have to design the comforts of the world, but you have to be prepared to do without them until you build up the inner life. Now, let us look at the higher meaning for milk and honey. Milk comes naturally. It's a physiological process. It comes naturally. It comes ready. Nature gives us milk. All right? Now, an oppressive society denies us the blessings of nature. It denies us the first fruits of life. For God has created us, and He, without any effort on our own, has given us the first fruits of life. And an oppressive society denies us the very first fruits of life, denies us the milk of mama's breast. Isn't that a great crime? That's a great crime. God Almighty has put it in us to fight an oppressive society that will deny us the blessings of nature. Now, that's a great subject in itself that would take many, many hours to do justice to. But let us go on. I think you've got the idea. Here comes the honey now. Didn't say to God is going to lead you to a land flowing with honey and milk? Going to lead you to a land flowing with milk and honey. Honey doesn't come from the breast. Honey doesn't come without effort. money is the result of work. Collective work. Collective work. United effort. The B is united. The B work as a collective whole. And the B is busy. Call them busy bees. Worker bees. Ah. The fruits of one's efforts are sweeter than milk. If you all could just know what is happening inside my organs right now. Good God Almighty, I hardly can stand it. You don't know what I'm talking about unless you experience it. You can only feel what I'm talking about. But if you experience what I'm talking about, buddy, great forces begin to stir inside your organs. When this kind of wisdom is brought out. Simple, but profound. Very simple. Nevertheless, the deepest of wisdom. Milk has a sweetness, but it's a mild sweetness and a softness. Honey has a sweetness. Milk, it nourishes, but honey is filling. You can take 2 tablespoons of honey and put it in 1 glass of milk, and you almost feel like you had a meal. It's more filling than milk, more nourishing than milk, and much more sweeter. Much more sweeter. You want the honey of life? Then come on out in the wilderness with me. And let's forget about the great castles of Egypt. And let us take the bad desert and turn it into a great kingdom. The bad desert of our own resources. We have nothing. We have nothing. We are barren. Bare like a desert. We don't have great wealth. We don't have great scientists. We don't have great theologians. They all are following the disciplines of Pharaoh. But in this new leadership, in this community, you have a Moses that can show you how to get milk and honey.